Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I get to welcome to the show Emily. I was so busy looking at the last name and remembering what you told me, Emily, that I completely just botched that, but Emily Sikorsky. Did I say that right?
You did perfectly.
All right. Okay, I'm done. We can all say goodbye now. And Justin Foster, who are the founders of the Intrinsic Brand Practice Root and River, and they have a terrific website. I was admiring it yesterday. I'm a web developer, and I really like your website. They are the co-authors of Rooting Up, Essays on Modern Branding, and branding is important. So while they are working with heart-based leaders, they believe that all great brands are spiritual experiences. And Emily and Justin are on a mission. You guys are going to be on your own. I'm sorry. I'll just apologize for right now. Emily and Justin are on a mission. I give up. To inspire all leaders to go forward and reframe and redefine the role of brands and their impact on the world. So today they've got a lot to share, so I'm going to run down those bullet points very quickly. They're going to talk about how branding starts on the inside, how your brand is how other people experience what you believe, how the era of pretense, old branding, is over. I really want to know about that. Finding harmony between business, brand, and culture and self-care. Your message is what you want to say, which may not be what your audience wants to hear, oddly enough. And a great brand solves 1,000 business problems. And then finally, brand is the only thing that connects all of the parts of a business. Good morning, guys. Thank you for putting up with my non-working voice, and nothing is working. It's Friday. It's been a long month already, and that's my only excuse for this. So it's going to be one of those days. I can tell already. We might as well go with it, right? Okay, so tell the audience a bit about yourself so they know who you are and why this information that you're sharing today about branding is so very important.
Thank you, Denise. We're both really happy to be here. So my background is in journalism. I was raised in the Southwest and always had a love of language and a love of reading and literature and writing, and that led me into journalism, which also fed my curiosity for what makes people tick. And eventually, after spending about a decade in journalism, I ventured into some more public relations, PR, marketing, social media, and started my own sort of freelance company doing that for clients. And then through a series of interesting turns, I ended up as the vice president of corporate communication for a human behavioral research company. So again, blending that curiosity I've always had about human beings and how they tick and with how we communicate as modern brands and how we can market in a way that's authentic and personal, but also reaching a lot of people. So I was in that role when I met Justin, and he'll introduce himself in just a moment. But together we really share this spark of curiosity and interest in taking the idea of branding to a new, more personal, and also more universal at the same time level. And that has really driven us. It inspired us to found Root and River 5 years ago, and to begin to teach and guide people in a new way of doing branding. But that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Denise. We love to tell our story. I never get tired of hearing Emily's story, and she might get tired of hearing mine, but it's probably because it has the same dad jokes in it each time. But so I have a very different background in many ways, and it's one of the magical things about the partnership I have with Emily is how different we are kind of on the surface, but spiritually how integrated we are. So I grew up kind of a framing thing for me. I grew up on a cattle ranch in Eastern Oregon. And so my dad joke about that is I've been in branding my whole life. People that are in agriculture get the joke. Some don't. And then took this road very less traveled. I got married very young. I became a dad very young. I dropped out of college. I started just trying to survive and ended up after about an 8-year career in corporate tech sales, B2B sales, ended up starting a marketing agency in Boise, Idaho. And I owned a couple of agencies and did freelance brand strategy. And I just found this passion that the same passion I had for sales was I was able to understand because I understood humans, understood what made them tick, just sort of inherently knew through intuition and experience how people tick. And so I met Emily 6.5 years ago. And I like to say that our first conversation is like many of our conversations. It was somewhat of a disagreement, but in a fun, loving way, related to just talking about a few things. And it wasn't long after that meeting, and then she brought me into her company to help and everything. And I was like, this is the person I want to make a business with. And so we launched Root and River in stealth mode in 2015, and then publicly in January of 2016. And that seems like 100 years ago. But we've learned so much. We have both grown. We have a wonderful team. I can't imagine. I never thought I'd say this, but almost 50 years old, I can't imagine doing anything else than working with Emily on what we do with our clients. It's a source of joy and fulfillment.
Well, thank you for sharing that, both of you. I have to ask you, though, what is the meaning of Root and River? I'm looking at your book on Amazon, and I kind of get it. But if you would, tell people, you know, where did that come from? What was the genesis of that? It's a terrific name. I love it. But without having a bit more information, people might be going, what does that mean?
Yeah, we get that question quite a lot. So as I mentioned, we have this, Justin and I both have this sort of defiant belief that a lot of the brands that business people pour their soul, their spirit, their energy, their money into, they're rooted in sort of the deepest motivators of a person. Unfortunately, business people, entrepreneurs, just people struggle to articulate that. And so it's this deep root, right? It's this deep root inside of us that begets all of what we create in the world. And once we're able to articulate it, it really becomes so much easier to share what we believe in, to market our services, and to be in the world as a brand. And so it becomes like a river. It flows out at that point. So the name came to us in with those ideas in mind, but through just kind of a moment where Justin and I were like, okay, let's name this thing. And we spent some time together just sort of sitting with those realities and thinking them through. And we got Root first, and then suddenly I just knew the other part of it was River. And we just knew immediately once we said it out loud that that was what it embodied, what we believe, and it also sort of gave it a different sort of we're very spiritual and practical. We thought that kind of reflected who we are.
It's easy to remember. It has that going. I mean, and it also invokes immediate curiosity. So you have that going for it as well. I really like it. I'm trying to figure out, excuse me, how to brand myself. I don't have a flipping clue. I really don't. I know what
I
want.
We know people.
Yes, I figured you might. That might be why I mentioned it. But, you know, it was something you just said, Emily, really kind of bubbled up with me, because you know what you know what you want to share, you know what you bring to the world, but articulating it can be a serious problem. It is for me. I've been trying to do this for years, Am I a nerd in stilettos? Am I a web developer? Am I a consultant? Mm-hmm. Am I a cat herder? Mm-hmm. What am I? What do I bring to the table? I don't know. I really don't know.
Yes.
And I suspect yes. that a lot of us are like that.
Yeah, I would say, yes. though, Denise, the thing that you do bring to the table is you. When we talk about the root of the brand, we're not really talking about skill. We're talking about your unique, true, what Carl Jung referred to as the true self. Thomas More refers to it as the original self, is that you are here for a specific reason at this time, and you have a set of inherent gifts that maybe they get overlooked because they're easy for you, even though other people might think they're difficult. And then as time goes on, you add skill. And when you marry gifts, natural gifts, with learned skills, you get talent. And so when we're working with an individual, using you as a little bit of as a case study, we don't start with what do you know how to do. We start with who are you and what are you here to do. So mission and identity, core self, deep work, sometimes fun, always terrifying. And
I can imagine.
We get into like, okay, how do we take these? You know, most people are polymaths now. You know, they have range. You can do a lot of different things. But if you build a brand around you, you can do a lot of different things. So that's what artists do. That's what a multimedia artist does. That's what Childish Gambino, who's also an actor and a producer, and you can use a lot of different examples of people that are artists that have branded around themselves, and then they have multiple ways that the marketplace can access their art.
I never thought of that. Yeah, I know what I can do. We all do, right? We all know, yeah, I've got this skill. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. How do I express that? And that's kind of, look, when I'm talking with other people, I can pick out of the ether what it is that they're trying to say. When I'm talking to myself, I just hear, go sit down. You know, you've got nothing here. It's really annoying. My inner self is kind of a brat. But it is, it's difficult when we're trying to do it ourselves. So you said that you have to kind of go deep and work on yourself. Where do you start? What do you mean by that?
So, you know, our mission as Root and River is to inspire people to go inward, especially leaders. So the first step is to go inward. And for us, when we work with our clients, the primary way we work with them is in an intensive root session. So it's usually a day-long session where we sit down and we guide you through the process. So it's a bit of although it's scary, as Dustin mentioned, it's terrifying, it's a bit of a relief if you can let go to allow somebody to guide you through and help begin to sort through, okay, let's start with your beliefs. What do you believe to be true that no one else taught you? We have a series of exercises around that idea that help tease out what people believe, but your listeners can definitely undertake this themselves. I mean, one of the ways that we encourage people to consider this is to think back to childhood or early memories. Anytime you were new at something, maybe it's an early career memory, and to consider, was there a moment when something was off for you, or perhaps you got in trouble as a child, perhaps you were reprimanded by a teacher or a parent? And in that moment, can you dig into the memory to understand what it was that you believed or were embodying or were behaving that was being challenged, that felt very natural to you? And so perhaps you were a bit confused as to why you were in trouble if you were a child, if that memory is from childhood. As an adult, maybe it's something that just enraged you or made you tremendously sad. So the scope of emotion was heightened. And inside of that memory, you may begin to, as you sort through it and sift through it, uncover a belief. And what we try to do in our work is distill that and carve that into one word. So, you know, we have a belief at Root and River. One of our beliefs is defiance. Maybe people don't think of that as a belief, but for us it is. We both have embodied throughout our lives that as a positive belief and pushing back and testing and reconsidering. So diving deep is the first step, going inward to understand what it is that is truly powering you at your core.
I love that you just said defiance, because I kind of start and end each day with that, to be honest. I'm always picking, and not in an ugly kind of way, but you know, don't tell me what I think. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to do. Don't tell me how the world is when that's not how I experience it. One of my very, and something else you said was like, what happened that you can kind of zone in on? Look, I was reading from the time I was 3 years old. My parents were voracious readers. There were books everywhere. I was the only introvert in the house, go figure, and I was always in a book, whether I could read or not. So I taught myself how to read. When I got to kindergarten, I remember Mrs. Keller, I'll never forget her. She's the only teacher I can remember, because she really irked me. She, you know, in front of all the other kids, she was saying, Denise, you can't read. You're not old enough to read. Because, you know, she was trying to read a book to us, and I had already read it a long time ago, and I probably smarted off. And she said, no, you can't read. You're too little. You're too young. And I didn't say anything, but I probably gave her that Denise look, which is kind of famous. And I went home, and I told my mother, who said, really? And she stomped into the, well, she strolled in the next morning holding my hand, and told the teacher, why are you telling Denise that she can't read? And Mrs. Keller said, well, she can't read. And, you know, they had me sit down, and I read beautifully. And my mom, I'll never forget this, she looked at the teacher. She said, now, why are you telling her she can't read? And the teacher said back to her, well, why can she read? And my mom, without missing a beat, said, because we never told her she couldn't. And that was the end of that.
Oh. Wow, what a great story, Denise.
Yeah. I mean, she was not having it. I was 5 years old, but I remember being very proud of my mom for saying, what do you mean she's not supposed to be able to read? Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
And it was all over very quickly, but she wasn't having it.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
It is a great story. It reminds me, Denise, of a book I read. It was probably the best, like, book in the sense of like pieces that will stick with me forever, just recently, called The Art of Possibility by Roz and Benjamin Zander. And Benjamin is the head of the Boston Philharmonic. He's the main like conductor or the boss, whatever that title is. And there's one of their, they have these 10 like principles of possibility. And one of them is start with an A. And so what he does when he's teaching students is everyone in the class starts off the class with an A, and they have to unearn the A. And they've done studies now that show that if you start somebody off with the confidence and where they're at, they're much more likely to want to keep that rather than, you know, being labeled a B student or a C student. And it doesn't change the curriculum it doesn't change the standard. It changes the mindset. And I think that's a little lesson that you learned from your mom that day. I think that's super cool.
And see, I agree with him on that, and thank you for that. It's one of my fondest memories. It doesn't make sense for you to start nowhere, in school, in class, wherever it is that you are, and have to decide, do I want to fail up or do I want to fail down? Where am I going? Start at the top, and if you start sliding down, that's on you. Then you course correct and you fix it. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are some of the things, I mean, you're talking about your brand is how other people experience what you believe, and I know that you guys have a whole bunch of ways to kind of winkle that out of you. Before I get too far down the road, are there any other ways that you would advise people to sit down or hire you or hire somebody like you, work with branding experts? Where should they start? I mean, do you start with a blank piece of paper, like that epic blank page? We all have one. I have several. And where do you start? Do you sit quietly under a tree? Do you try to figure out what it is, or do you turn it over to your subconscious for review and let it kind of bubble up? There's got to be ways to figure this out.
Yeah, a great place to start. Go ahead, Justin. Why don't you take that one?
Okay. Yeah, M already mentioned the one of, like, going back into your childhood and examining. Another area that I think is important that Americans in particular are uncomfortable with is understanding the positive role of, let's call it, suffering. So if you've been through something, that within it contained a lot of lessons that give you indicators of what you're here might be here to do. So I believe so strongly in this that I have it tattooed on my right forearm, which is the mission is in the suffering. Now, I don't know if that's true for everybody. I don't know that everybody has to suffer to find their mission, but I do know that if you've suffered, there's something in there. And so the term I would use here, Denise, with this work, and we do this with our clients, but also just something someone can do on their own, is just go examine. Go touch the wounds. Go touch the areas where you felt a struggle or you felt like neglected or something traumatic happened to you. And then ask yourself, what did this teach me about empathy? Because empathy is kind of the root of any vibrant personal or business brand. If you or your brand can love other people, you are in the upper 10 percentile of everything. And so we learn that through examination of suffering, examination of struggles and hard times. And I mean, like, legit stuff, not like, you know, your latte wasn't hot enough one day and that was so traumatizing, not that sort of fragility stuff, but like the real stuff that people go through. And we tend to, we're kind of programmed in America to kind of ignore that. Like, we use this phrase, I'm past that. It's like, well, yeah, we need to keep moving along down our life, but did you learn the lesson from it in a positive way that's going to enhance your presence on this planet?
So there's so many questions, and I don't even know where to start. So when you're sitting down with yourself, making the decision to brand yourself or rebrand yourself or find some experts, is the best place to start with just quiet, sit down and quietly kind of catalog what you know, what you do, which are important things, but I'm listening to you too, and you're saying that's not the most important things. They're part of the whole, but they're not the most important thing that you need to present. So then do you then sit down once you've got your catalog or your mind map or whatever you want to call it? Then do you switch over to say, this is how I perceive me, but how do I want other people to perceive my brand? How do I want to show up in the world? Is that what you're saying?
Well, a little bit different from that. And this goes to one of the points that you made at the top of the hour. You had mentioned in one of the bullets that branding has really changed. We're in a new era, right? We've left behind the world of pretense, which was this idea that brands should be really tuned into how you want people to see you and how the world maybe wants to consume you. And that was really based and kind of grew out of the post-World War II era, the industrial age, where we had to like create something that was separate from the way that the business actually was or the person actually was in order for that to be pleasing, right? We were all living in these perfect little houses and everything was Ozzie and Harriet perfect. And the advertising industry really picked up on that and then furthered that. And we get constructs like Betty Crocker, like Marlboro Man, and a lot of falseness, a lot of pretense that went into manipulating the audience to convince you that you needed to buy something. So that was the era.
Didn't the Marlboro Man die of cancer?
Correct.
I mean, there was this iconic, you know, craggy, good-looking man, big man on a horse. I mean, he was just sexy. He really was. I've seen those. And he died of cancer. But then
that's
I like
right,
John Wayne.
Right.
I like that kind of look. So, you know, a big man on a horse. I'm happy.
Yeah, they're very good at creating these luscious images. I will definitely, give you that. Unfortunately, it's separate from both how the product treated the client or the consumers and how the company treated it's people. And so you cannot do that anymore in the 21st century. You can't brand that way. We have to brand around, and this gets to your question, Denise, we have to brand around not how we'd like people to perceive us, but who we are and how we're sharing that experience with the world. So, of course, there's some intentionality in it. There's some planning in it, right? There's some consideration, but it's more about, okay, this is what I believe. That's the first layer. This is my mission in the world. Here are my gifts and talents. And then here's how I want to present them to the world. And so we move out in concentric circles, almost, if you could imagine that, and through that process of understanding all of those things. And then we articulate that into a message. And that becomes the front or the bow of the boat of our brand. That's what people see first, and what kind of cuts through the water. But it's all aligned into who we truly are. So there's no risk of being revealed or no risk of fracture of the brand because we're not really who we say we are.
You know, I see,
and we,
I work
well,
with...
Denise, we... Oh, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add
a little extra commentary
there.
I'll come back because you may be... You're probably ready to just tell me what I was going to ask, so keep on going.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. No. So we like to do things through inquiry. So when we're working with a client, and even as we, how we just operate in the world as individuals, and then as a brand, it's around inquiry, or sometimes referred to as the Socratic method, which is to encourage people to reflect. And one of the reflection questions related to this issue of sort of perception and how you want to show up in the world is two things. One question is, where am I pretending? Where is there pretense? And having an honest conversation with yourself about pretense. Now, being an adult is somewhat performative. You know, you got to, you know, put some pants on now and again and go out and be a grown-up. But if you're performative emotionally, if there's a separate you from your brand, there's the brand you and then there's the real you, that's unsustainable, and it actually is pretty corrosive to a person's psyche and soul. So that's one question. The other question is, where am I insecure? So we all been coached now with Brené Brown and others to be more vulnerable. Vulnerability includes the examination and expression of what makes you insecure. And again, we're pushing back against this perfectionism that's kind of an American thing, which is you have to look a certain way and act a certain way, and you can do wonders for your personal brand or your business brand by talking about the areas that you're like, man, this is a weakness for me, this is something I've been working on, and that brings humanity in realness to the way people perceive you.
And see, that does touch on what I was going to ask about. You had said something about corrosiveness, and I watch a lot of very well-paid marketers, and some I've bought their courses from. I've invested in a number of these, and several of them have really lost me because apparently what they projected themselves to be is now being called out in big, ugly ways. I have to say, I'm watching, and some of these are female marketers who have been cannibalizing themselves. It's horrible. Some of them, I still believe their messaging, and some of them, like, really? That's who you are? So while the message was very carefully crafted, it wasn't sustainable. And I've seen it in other marketers, male marketers. You know the ones, you know, the big Ferrari, the big house, and all of a sudden they're living back home with mama. I mean, you see it a lot. So they crafted huge personas that didn't actually exist. And when the, you know, oscillating fan hit the stuff, it hit hard and continues to do so.
Yeah.
Because look, get on the internet, you can find things that you don't want to find. It's hard to hide anything.
Yeah. And I think you made a really good point in there, Denise. You talked about the message being like an effective message, but not actually what the experience of the brand was. And if you're in that position, you're at great risk. comes for the root of that is that people are, and skilled marketers do this all the time. They figure out what the pain is. They message very well around the pain. They make a promise of live your best life, which I hate that. I hate that saying.
You and me both.
And,
yep.
That's the sort of vein or the sort of spirit that you see there. And then they create a highly functioning funnel and they get people in because, you know, the old world sort of form of marketing really advocated that. It was about coercion. It was about manipulation of emotion. It was about saying you're inadequate. There's something wrong with you. Poke the pain and then offer the solution. And we stand in stark contrast to that. That's not our philosophy. Instead, we teach our clients how they can inspire and invite and educate and inform people as a way of engaging them in the brand. And that's why it's really based in what you believe. And if you put out, this is our core tenet, essentially, if you put out what you believe on the outside, on the outset, you will attract people who believe what you believe, and beautifully, you will repel the people who do not believe what you believe. Amen to that, because we don't really want everyone coming in unless they are aligned with our beliefs, because those relationships, those clients will last longer, they will be more fruitful, they will be more generative for you, they'll give you great ideas, they'll give you feedback. And instead of wasting our time trying to cater to or serve somebody who doesn't really bought in and who's going to come into your system, muck it up, drain your time, resources, and energy. And so messages need to be aligned and true from that space of authenticity. Otherwise, they will be revealed and, you know, then the damage to the brand has been, in some cases, catastrophic, like you're saying.
It has been happening. I watch it with just, seriously, some of it's heartbreaking. It really is just the viciousness of how some of these people turn on one another. And I'm not going to say who, or I mean, it's been recent, and my jaw has dropped more than once. And here's the thing: I mean, when you have, I'm going to throw copywriters under the bus here. They share a great deal of the burden here, I'm afraid. I mean, they do brilliant work. I mean, I know some terrific copywriters. But when they're asked to write something that is largely fiction and keep it going, I don't know how they manage it. I really don't. Maybe they don't know it's fiction. Maybe they're just so caught up in their wordsmithing, because there are brilliant copywriters out there. But I'll tell you what, I recognize the work when I see it. I know who they are. And, you know, when somebody comes up and they've got this glorious, glorious website. I mentioned I'm a web developer. I study them. I'm like, oh, I know who wrote that. I know what it cost you. So who are you really? And I'm immediately suspicious. That may be wrong. Mm-hmm. It may be right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But my spidey sense goes, what's going on here, really?
Yeah.
I doubt that I'm alone.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little, just a brief, like, kind of history of this and where this has evolved from. It actually came out of philosophy or a methodology developed by Sigmund Freud's nephew. His name was Edward Bernays. And so when you
know
think
who that
of all,
is.
Like, the, like,
I've read
okay,
his work.
So this was all about the manipulation of the ego mind, to put a Freudian term on it. The fact that people had a set of things that are built into the human app that are easy to manipulate. And you see politicians do this all the time. You see religious leaders do this all the time, cult leaders. And brands have the same tendencies as political and religious and cult leaders. They have similar tendencies, because usually they're run by people that are living dual lives, and there's a separateness between who they really are and who they're pretending to be. Well, those things are like fear of being kicked out of the tribe, like deeply ingrained in us. So a lot of marketing is about don't get left out. If you don't drink this beer, pretty girls won't talk to you, you know, that type of stuff. And then there's uncertainty, and we have deep social programming, both in our kind of just the way the human mind works anyway, but especially we're not that far, we're not that many generations away from like the Great Depression or, when life wasn't nearly as cushy as it is now, even though obviously there's, you know, strife right now. And so uncertainty is another thing that brands play on, is a promise of safety or trust, and then doubt. And what most people, many people are dealing with, and this is why this language that they use, that you see through the veil, you see the emperor has no clothes. But a lot of people, when they have the doubt, they have doubt they're having an existential crisis about who they really are. And when you're like that, when you're kind of in defensive posture out of fear, and you are like clinging to something that you hope for a little bit of certainty, and you're trying to, you're insecure about who you are, you are a target for gaslighting. And that's what happens both in business and in political organizations and churches and in relationships. And it's all about, like, that's why we are so focused on inspiring leaders to go inward. Because if you go inward, you'll see there's a lot less to fear, there's a lot less to be uncertain about, and there's nothing to doubt the further you go inward.
And I agree with you on that. Look, I know what I know. I know what I believe. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing, moderately, minimally, let me tell the truth, to be persuaded. But I know what I know. I know what's right and I know what's wrong. And I don't need copy to tell me that I can get a better life by buying your beer or whatever it's going to be. In fact, I tend to get kind of seriously, my spidey sense is tinging along all the time.
Right.
Now, will I buy your product? Right. Probably. But will I buy it just knowing that it's going to cure all of my problems? Oh, heck no. I know that, you know, parts of it are going to speak to me. Parts of it I'm just going to go, not for me. But I go into it understanding that only a little bit of it is actually going to be of real assistance to me. And I'm fine with that as long as I understand that.
Yep. That's, I mean, I think we want to be marketed to as whole human beings. And this is where we get into our approach, you know, once it gets to the river of humanistic marketing, which simply means putting the human being at the center of our marketing. So our golden rule of marketing, which we encourage our clients to think this way, is market unto others as you would have them market unto you. And so we really need to think about how would we like to receive information? Do we like to be manipulated? Do we like to be shamed or made to feel guilty or inadequate? And then just be, again, honest with how you've done it in the past. If you need to course correct, go ahead and think about how you might instead extend some sort of invitation, be transparent, not overpromise, and just sort of strip away the pretense that maybe either mentally or in actuality you've been marketing with, to sort of get you back to thinking more personally. And I'll tell you what, Denise, in this day and age, in the current times that we're in, this is the only real effective way to market, in my opinion. No one wants to hear another pitch. No one is, you know, primed to be hard-pressed, hard-sold to at this moment. What we want to hear is where people stand, where companies stand, where brands stand, what they're doing in the world, and then give me the information about your offering in a direct way. And that's what we really need to be thinking about.
And see, that's beautifully laid out. I agree with you. I don't want to be sold. I don't want to be pitched to. The minute I understand that's what's happening, and look, let's face it, we are all being marketed to. Watch any three-year-old. They are marketing, and they're winning. They're very, very good at what they do. They almost always get their own way. I mean, you know, if you want to follow a group of people around, follow three-year-olds around and learn, because they're going to get whatever they want. But the thing is, I mean, seriously, but you're right, and I don't like to be pitched to, but I do understand that as human beings, we're always marketing. We're marketing to ourselves. We're marketing, you know, resume, getting married. We're always marketing. It just depends on how vicious you're going to be, I guess, when you're marketing. Do you guys have any case studies that you can share? No names, obviously, but you know, anything come to mind where you really help somebody kind of dig deep and say, you know, my marketing idea wasn't ever going to work. How do I fix this?
Yeah, one that, and maybe we can both share one, because we're blessed to have a lot of interesting clients and good case studies. But the one that comes to mind for me is a nonprofit here in Austin, Texas, that when their primary fundraising mechanism was an event that they hosted annually. It had been going on for 80-some years, this event. And that when the pandemic happened and they started canceling events back in March, their primary funding source for the year for this nonprofit that gives scholarships to Texas kids, it dried up. And one of the things that they told us, though, was that they knew what to do based off of the work they did with us. Now, these are great people. They're courageous. They're innovative. They're high character, but they were able to go to their mission. They were able to go to their standards. They were able to look at their message, all these various components, and do that like recalibration towards reality that is hard to do. And I think the reason that works is because of them as a leadership, just leadership character, high empathy, high character people, but also, in a crisis, if you have a root system of anything, whether it's in yourself or your organization, if you have a root system, you don't have to pivot the root system. You can just react to the reality, like a tree bends in the wind. And that root system then breeds confidence. And confidence is, especially in a state, in a time of uncertainty and volatility, is it's a premium to feel confident so you can move forward in the face of, like I said, new realities.
So I love that. I have a question for both of you, though. I'm seeing so much in, you know, in Facebook groups, on LinkedIn groups. I live on the internet. So I'm convinced the internet was made for me, and I just let y'all borrow it. But that's true. It's mine. But I'm seeing an awful lot, and I call it negativity. I also call it rank stupidity, but then I'm defiant on my best day. But I'm seeing an awful lot of people chastising others. Well, you shouldn't be marketing now. This is not a good idea. You know, we need to be doing this, that, and the other, but marketing or selling is just a bad idea. And I disagree vehemently with that. So I'm going to let you guys roll with it and tell me what you think.
Yeah, thank you. Rank stupidity is such a great term that you just used.
Isn't it?
Definitely
one of my favorites.
I guess I'm going to use that, but I will attribute it to you. So thank you for that. Yeah, you're hearing a lot of that. And I think this goes to our knee-jerk reaction as human beings, right? To, oh, shut it all down and we can't. When in doubt, don't do anything. And I think that's misguided. I think that's incorrect. And I would go back to what I said earlier. What the audience, your audience or your market wants to hear is where you stand, what you're doing, where you're struggling, maybe even some reality, some vulnerability there. And they want to know, what are you offering? So do that. Don't be a jerk about it. Be forthright and transparent about those things. And that is your current brand strategy. That is your current marketing message. Leave the manipulation aside. And just be forthright and don't go into panic, shut everything down mode. But if you have this root system, you're at a distinct advantage to be able to share those things. So that puts people who've done this deeper work in a great place. But if you haven't, now's a great time to do it so that you're ready for this continuing volatility in the world to market in that way.
Excellent.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I don't think it was ever appropriate. I'm going to sound maybe kind of judgy here. I don't think it was ever the right thing to pump up your brand to be something it was not. I think one of the things I believe in is that nature, you know, brand is follows the laws of nature, and one of the laws of nature is nature will kill pretense. You can't pretend to be anything in nature because nature doesn't care, and so. The branding and the old way of like we were talking about earlier, which is sort of performative and separate from reality, kind of an alternate reality, like the mobile man is the example again. That was never really the right thing to do from an integrity standpoint, in my opinion. The second thing is it's never been the right thing to do to manipulate people into buying stuff they don't need. The difference is now if your brand is an illusion and people don't really need what you're doing, marketing is just a reminder of that. So The way I look at it is like you're working on the wrong problem. It's like trying to fight obesity by banning large pants. You know, we're focusing on the wrong problem. The problem is not marketing. The problem is that there's a detachment from reality, which goes back to what Em said about it, an advantage. It's a tremendous advantage then to have the root system, but also the infrastructure, also the ability to, like you've done, you know, you have your podcast platform, the website, and all the things that you do. That infrastructure has a lot of tensile strength in it. It can take a beating depending on what's going on because you've invested in that infrastructure. And so when you think about it, you've got your brand, you've got your infrastructure, and the only thing missing then is consistency. And now it's really extra important to be consistent and putting information out there, putting stories out there, not pitching, as we talked about, but storytelling and inviting people into conversation. It's a perfect time to be thinking that way.
That is brilliant, and I agree 100% with you. One of the things that I noticed when, you know, states started shutting down, Illinois, I think, was first or one of the first, and I mean, immediately I knew that I had to go to my client websites and start putting COVID information on there. Were we closed? Were we open? How do you connect up? How do we help you? We're not going away. What do we do? And immediately, I mean, almost immediately, I recognized that a lot of companies just hunkered down and went, oh, geez, it'll be okay next week. We're just going to be quiet over here and, you know, hold our, I don't know, hat over our head. Just, you know, we're not going to say anything. Wrong thing to do. So immediately what I did, and this just felt like the right thing to do, I got in touch with every client I have ever worked with, whether they were, you know, back in the day when I was doing virtual assistants, now I do online business management and web development. And I got in touch with every single client and I said, listen, and I did a website audit for them. Over the course of a weekend, I spent many, many hours going through all of these websites and saying, here, you need to do this, 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 and this. Here's some suggested language. You can get in touch with your people and have them put this in play immediately. And they did. Nobody told them that they needed to do this. Their own teams didn't know for the most part. Mm-hmm. So stay in touch with your people. I mean, it's not too late. If you've been hunkering down underneath your desk like there's an earthquake coming, get out from underneath the desk. And yeah. Get out there and say, we're still here. We can help you. And you know what? We'd love to hear from you how we can be of assistance to you. This is not the time to be stoic and, you know, we're strong. We got this. You don't got this. Put it in the parlance of the deep south. You know, get your butt out there and try to help people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love that you said it's not too late. Like, definitely want all the listeners to know that these have been confusing months. And so it's okay if you've not been sure and so haven't said anything yet, but it is definitely not too late. We're going to be dealing with this sort of, again, volatility, uncertainty, ambiguity for a while. And so it's okay to begin today, begin next week, begin to start those conversations, reach out to people. People still will want to hear from you in a personal way.
They need to. Need to hear from
they
you.
They need to.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing.
The thing I would caution Denise on that, though, is just a little thing to an indicator is make sure if you're gonna do that, and I agree, you should get out and do. I love the story that you told. I love what Em just said, but be careful with your language. So there's a tendency to kind of copy what other people are saying, so that you could play kind of BS bingo
I'm writing that down.
Now,
hang on, BS bingo.
Yeah, see, if you Google BS Bingo, you can actually download the sheets of all kinds of ways.
You're kidding.
We came up with it, or was it Jen that came up with 1M for like family gatherings?
that's
right.
A whole different thing we have in development.
Yeah, so, but this BS Bingo is around the language that you're using. So, like, in these trying times, or now
more than ever. Pivot. Don't tell me to
pivot.
I'll hit you.
Don't tell me to pivot. Right. So the coaching we would say is be direct, be sincere, and be consistent. If you do those things, and you're backed by, you know, integrity in your brand, then people are going to be much more open to that than being given like a cliche fest, you know, things they have to filter through.
Exactly. And that is brilliant. And so many people, and I know what happened, or I know partially what happened. A lot of companies, a lot of firms, a lot of people like me who I'm already virtual. I've always been virtual, but a lot of small service providers all of a sudden had to say, I can't have rented space anymore or an office. I have to go virtual. They were so focused on getting their teams kind of scattered and, you know, all of the work that has to go on to keep their everything safe. You know, everything online, of course, is hackable. So, you know, they were focusing on that in many cases instead of their consumers. And now that they've got, you know, their teams are working properly, everything's kind of, you know, coming along, things are happening, things are changing. Now they're going, oops, I think we might have lost some of our audience. You think? So you should have been doing both of these things at the same time. But if you didn't, get busy. Get back in touch with those people who may have wandered away from you and said, well, you don't care about me. I don't care about you. This is what I would say. Pick up the phone. Have conversations, actual, real conversations. Those go a lot further than an email.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Or at least email asking for a conversation.
There you go.
You know, like.
Yeah. And here's what I would say, because I don't know about you. I get kind of irritated when people say, oh, I'd love to have a conversation with you about your podcast or whatever it is. And then they want me to get on their calendar. Really? You just put another little brick in that wall between me and you. Why don't you just pick up the phone? It's kind of easy to do. You know, say, Denise, can you speak with me at 2:00 tomorrow morning or, you know, tomorrow afternoon or what? And if I say yay or nay, off we go. Make it easy. People are making it too difficult.
Yes, yeah. I agree. That's very true. Mm-hmm. Find the easiest way to connect and do it.
That's exactly right. And make it direct as you can. And, you know, just if they say, no, I don't like you anymore, just say, I'm so sorry. And then, you know, send them a Christmas card later on because you're not mad. Okay, so I've got a couple more questions and we've got only about 7 more minutes. You talk about what you say, and we may have covered this a bit, but I wanted to clarify, what you want to say may not be what your audience wants to hear. And I think we did touch on it a bit, but if you could just kind of give me some bullet points on why that's important.
You bet. Yeah. So your message is not what other people want to hear. And we tend to, again, our default setting is to approach it from that way. What can I say so that everybody likes me and everyone responds to this message? We just go in.
Not going to happen.
We want acceptance.
Yeah.
Right.
Not going to happen.
So what we encourage you to think about instead is, what do you have to say? What is resting on your heart that you want to say to the world? So you can use a little, as you're getting at this message, you can use a little righteous indignation. You can think about, you know, presenting to other people in your industry and what you'd really like to tell them. We do a fun exercise when we're working with clients, and we kind of set up a scenario to do just that. But we say, right before you go out there, you're going to take 2 shots of tequila.
Oh,
so
Lord.
The tongue is loosened and you're given a little liquid courage to go out and say what you really think. And are we going to market with what comes out of that moment? Not necessarily, but the truth tends to rise in that scenario. You can be a little angry at the beginning, but just to get the juices flowing of, hey, this is what I really want to say. This is what I need to tell the world. And it, you know, when we get to the point of, you know, crafting that final message for folks, they'll feel, you know, scared. They'll feel a little intimidated to say this message. And that's good, because what we're trying to do is find the message that's going to cut through all that BS bingo and actually be received as new information, which is difficult to do in a mind that is completely overwhelmed with gigabytes of information coming at them every day. So yeah, that's what I would encourage your audience to do, is think about what do you really want to say? And that's where your message lies.
Emily, have you ever had this happen? I bet you have. You get in the shower because, you know, there's no external information being streamed at you. You're just in there. You've got the hot water. I mean, you can steam cabbage in there. It's hot. I mean, you're relaxing. And all of a sudden, the most brilliant idea comes to you without fail. I mean, I don't know what it is about the bathtub or water or even, you know, walking meditation when you're walking the dog. That's, I find, when I get, you know, these little snippets will just kind of pop into my head, and I call them spiritual guidance. It's not me coming up with these ideas. They're being given to me. And I had to find out the hard way. And then I'll start talking to myself. I live alone. I can talk to cupboards if I want to. And I do. So, I mean, who doesn't talk to their eggs in the refrigerator? Come on. We all talk to ourselves. But I found when I'm in the showers, when I can get brutally honest with myself, one of these ideas or snippets of an idea will drop into my head. And I start talking to myself and I start exploring it and I may run out of hot water. It has happened. But what I had to do, Emily, was buy bathtub crayons so I could keep those snippets. And I scribble. You'd think I'm an artist. I'm not. I can't draw a stick figure. I can't do hangman. He looks like he has scoliosis. But I draw all over my shower. And then when I'm done, when I think, okay, I've got it all out, I didn't lose anything, because we have these brilliant, brilliant insights that we lose them the minute we step out and dry up. So I scribble everything. I take a picture with my iPhone. I immediately run to my desk and I start writing it all down. And I get mad, I get sad, I get angry. Some of it I'm like, where the heck did that come from? But it's not lost. So I totally get what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the most destructive lies our mind tells us, which there's so many, but is, oh, I'll remember this. No, you won't. You step out of the shower, it's gone. So the fact that just brilliant to get the bathtub crayons or capture those things. You know, that is where you have your best ideas, when your mind is just focused and open. And yeah, that's a great tip for your audience. But even if you don't have the bathtub crayons, the minute you step out of the shower, definitely write those things down. That's really where your brand lies, is in that material.
Exactly. And, you know, when you're waking up, I always turn over something that is sticking or bothering me to my subconscious for review before I go to sleep. And at 3:18, I've said this many times on this radio show, at 3:18, that answer comes to me. And I am waking up, I am grabbing the pad next to my bed and writing it down, because it won't stay. And it's brilliant all the time. So you have to listen to yourself is what I'm hearing from you guys. You really need to go deep. You need to figure out who you are and what your message is to you, and then share that with the world. That's what I'm taking away from it.
Yeah. Well said.
Oh,
well
good.
Said. And understanding, similar to your bathtub experience and others, I think this is where the sound bath of being in nature is. And this is something that I've only learned really in the last couple of years, is the essential nature of stillness when it comes to creativity and productivity, to just stop, be still, and listen. And listen to what your soul is saying. Listen to those musings that come down from some mysterious source. Listen to nature around you. And it reminds me of a quote from Buddha. He said, everyone should spend 30 minutes a day in nature, unless you're busy, and then you should spend an hour. And so
that's true.
This idea, like the bath for you, and I think we can all find our version of that. So mine's walking. So many ideas, like I can write an entire blog post in my head and then and hold it there with a few little notes that I take along the way, and then come back and write it, because it's kind of, you know, it's stillness in the sense that I don't have headphones in. I'm not doing anything. I'm just in that state, walking and receiving.
And I do the same thing. I have this gorgeous backyard. It's wonderful. I live in Louisiana. You can't kill anything. Trust me, you can't. It's just wet and muggy, and you plant something in the ground, you're going to be trying to kill it, you know, a couple years later, because it overtook everything. But it is very quiet underneath my pecan trees, and I will go out there daily, even in the rain, and get underneath this chaise lounge and just think It's brilliant. And just get off by yourself and be silent and then listen. And I'll share this with you. I found during my shower talks that if I hear myself say, I'm going to do this, as opposed to we're going to do this, I know which one's ego and which one is spirit.
So it's an important
distinction. Emily, Justin, it has been wonderful chatting with you guys. So before I let you go, do you have any kind of final thoughts? And then where can people find you?
Oh, it's just been such a pleasure to talk with you this morning. My final thoughts would just be remove the judgment around any marketing or branding you've done in the past and just accept where you are today and consider it a fun adventure. Try not to put too much importance on it. Otherwise, you'll get stuck. Just approach it with curiosity and with some tenderness for yourself.
Yeah. And my little tidbit, Denise, is before you try to go deal with the outer world, deal with your inner world. Because if you deal with your inner world, the outer world will look differently. Now, the pandemic won't go away and uncertainty won't go away, but your perspective will shift. But only if you do the inner work to begin with. Even if that's 5 bullets in a journal and 5 minutes of silence, start with going inward.
And that is so important. You can't share what you don't know. You just can't. So that is brilliant. Thank you, both of you, so much. It has been absolutely wonderful speaking with you, and I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and the advice that you shared with our audience. So before we go, tell people where they can find you, where they can find your book. I have it up on Amazon. And then I'll say goodbye.
Sounds good. We invite everybody to come visit us at rootandriver.com. It's R-O-O-T. andriver.com, and you can find us on social media also using that handle at Root and River, all spelled out. As you mentioned, our book, Rooting Up, Essays on Modern Branding, is available on Amazon, and definitely reach out to us. We're very reachable. If you have any questions or concerns or comments or anything to share, we really genuinely love having conversations with our audience.
Excellent. I'm looking at Amazon. Do you have a Kindle version yet?
That's a good question. I thought we already did.
I didn't
We'll have to look into it.
Yeah, let me know, because if you've got a Kindle version, shoot me a note and I'll go grab it.
Okay.
All right.
We'll look into that. Thank you for pointing that out.
Perfect. Sure. Well, it may be there. I mean, it was earlier this morning when I looked at it, but I didn't see it. I saw a paperback, but I didn't see Kindle. I could be wrong. So you are welcome to tell me, Denise, you're an idiot. Go buy the Kindle version. But leave out the idiot part. I already know that part. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and honestly anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for your partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Thank you.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.